Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Bet the Edge. Thanks for watching on our NBC Sports YouTube channel or listening in audio version. It's Drew and Vaughn, and today it's college basketball focus. We're going NCAA first round line movement, some teams on upset watch, and we're also going to talk some prop markets, which I find interesting, Drew, on teams to advance further, talk a little Baylor, Illinois, Iowa State, Tennessee, and more. But we had a great show on Monday. If you haven't watched it, everyone, I encourage you guys to go out there and see some of our favorite plays. But we have a lot of line movement here today for Thursday's games. How are you feeling ahead of March Madness? Are you feeling mad yet?
Yeah. Not mad as in angry, but mad as in, I'm driving myself crazy overthinking this. Yes. I keep finding a nugget that I'm like, ooh, that's a good reason not to have that team going deep. Ooh, that's a good reason to think that they can go upset-wise. And it has just turned me into a complete indecisive maniac. And now, regardless of what happens, if I'm right, if I'm wrong, at some point, I had them there at one time, but I changed it. So, you know, I've given myself twisted myself into quite the mental pretzel here. But injuries have been kind of the only key thing that have really changed my perception macro wise. Kansas, it looks like, is going to have a very tough time in week one of this tournament without their two best players. In general, I like what I'm hearing about the Houston's most important big, maybe most important. Actually, he's their most important player because they're thin on the in the big department. And the fact that Juwan seems like it was just a shin bruise that really kind of limited him in the Big 12 got me feeling better that Houston Cougars are going to be a factor in week two and three.
Yeah, certainly hoping so, man, for my tickets and everyone that's been watching involved. But it has been an interesting few days. I agree. The more you're on your phone, the more information you're going to find out about these teams, which could, you know, be a blessing or not. So don't take everything you say too lightly or too serious. Try and meet yourself in the middle, Drew. You're giving me Gnarls Barkley crazy vibes. So, let's tone it down. No, just kidding. But you know, that's how I said Don. I said a D-A-H-N because we're talking about a Pittsburgh team to kick things off. The Duquesne Dukes, 11 seed, taking on the BYU Cougars. This line opened up at 7.5. It's now to 9.5 in favor of BYU. Over-under only moved up slightly from 140.5 to 142.5. Any opinions here? Because initially, I did like BYU, felt like they were a strong money line piece, and I think this is a good situational matchup for them, given Duquesne's lack of size and rebounding.
I don't disagree with that, but I also think that the opener here was fair. So at this point, it's Duquesne or pass. This is kind of an interesting, weird matchup where Duquesne got an 11 seed and didn't deserve it, right? Does that matter as far as the betting market? No, Not at all. Like, yeah. a 6-11 being close to a double digit spread, it's an outlier. It's strange. It's an, you know, it's unexpected. But that said, because the tournament committee put them as an 11 up against the BYU 6, that doesn't mean that the spread should get bet in the direction of the favorite here. So this is one that I'm scratching my head on a little bit. Like, BYU is certainly, you know, they're a very, very impressive team. I have them clearly in the top 20 by my rankings, but their defense is susceptible. And I think that could give, you know, the Duquesne Dukes an opportunity to get something going offensively. And, you know, there's no real obvious, you know, kind of true blue hole in the Duquesne kind of, you know, fingerprint, resume, whatever. I mean, other than being in a weak division and just in general being kind of in that, you know, outside of the top 50, surely, but inside of the top 100, you know, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing this, any kind of explanation for why this should have been steamed as aggressively as it was. 7.5 on the open was probably already, you know, kind of reflecting a little bit of enthusiasm for BYU in this spot, and it's only gotten bet one way, and I think it's probably an overreaction. So at this point, if you are in an ATS pool, I would take Duquesne, and with this much steam, we're getting to the point where it's almost a free play for them in the first half, right? Like, if you could, you know, if you're steaming, if fair is 7.5, and the full game is getting steamed to 10, then the first half is going to be steamed into some very valuable territory as you gain an extra mm-hmm. possession or two with a half of basketball. So, yeah, I think ultimately this is an interesting spot to look for Duquesne first half if you're going to bet it at all. What is the angle for BYU, by the way? What about the matchup got you going?
Well, I'll say the Duquesne first half is 5 and 5.5 everywhere right now. It should be 5.5 or 6 if it can just go out. Yeah, I mean, taking an underdog in the first half, I don't hate that whatsoever, because teams could pull away. You know, BYU is a team that isn't terrible at the free throw line. They're around the top 100 mark. I mean, they're a great shooting team in general. They just don't force turnovers. That's the really big knock on them. Like, you look at their resume on KenPom or Bartorvik, and pretty much everything's in the green for BYU, whether it's conference or NCAA regular season, but except that turnover percentage rank. And Duquesne, supposedly 29th best defense, top 50 across the board, a lot of defensive metrics. BYU is supposed to be top 50 both ways. I just think the size for BYU and the three-pointers that they shoot, the amount of three-pointers they shoot, could be deadly for a team like Duquesne. But if Duquesne slows them down, Drew, and BYU isn't hitting 35% from three, then, yeah, Duquesne should stay well within 10 points. And I'm not saying that because I think the Dukes are a great team. They're well coached. Keith Dambrot is a great coach. Yeah. So that's why they won four games in the A-10, not because they are the best team out of the A-10. That was the Dayton Flyers.
You know what Engle like? You know what Engle I like even more?
What?
First half under. 66.5 is too high. I think realistically, fair is closer to 64 here. If you're getting 2.5 points on a first half total, that's pretty solid. And, you know, I might even get a little squirrely if this gets out to 6, a little Duquesne plus 6, first half under 66.5. And then you're just basically like, keep BYU in or around 30 points and we're golden.
Yeah. And this, this matchup, because everyone's pretty much penciling in BYU versus Illinois in the second round matchup. And why it doesn't seem like that's the most likely outcome here, given the 3 and 6 seeds, I'm sure one of these teams are going to get a run for their money here. And the one thing I wanted to mention, too, before we move on, Drew, because you asked me also what gets people excited about this matchup. You asked me in particular, but I think what gets people excited is when you mention the 6-11 seeds, you see New Mexico, you know, that's a 2-point game with Clemson. Oregon, South Carolina, 1.5-point game, which will break down. The other 6-11, NC State and Texas Tech, Tex laying 4.5 or 5. So those are all relatively 1, 2, or 3 possession spreads. And then you get this 6-seed game. That's almost double digits. So makes people feel like BYU is a much safer team between the 6 and 11 seeds. Maybe just to win, but not to cover the spread. Let's move on to another game, another region, Midwest region, Oregon and South Carolina, 6-11 matchup we just talked about. This opened as a pick'em, Drew. Now it's out to South Carolina, -1.5 favorite, total sitting at 133.5, which actually moved up about a point and a half at most places. So a little bit of movement both ways. Any strong opinions here?
This one to me looks more like a correction on what was closer to fair. I think this should have been South Carolina minus one. And so the fact that it opened pick'em and it's gotten bet in the direction of the Gamecocks, I think is correct. South Carolina has a decent chance, I think, to generate a little bit of a lead in this game. I like their their offense in general is a little bit less reliant on the 3-point shot in general, and so for those reasons they could potentially just play their style of basketball and get out to a nice start. Relatively low tempo team, South Carolina. They're 353 in the country. Yeah. So this one potentially another early slog as far as possessions go. But Oregon is not a team that I especially favor right now. I would put them kind of in the 50 to 75 range in terms of, overall rank among college basketball teams. And congratulations on making a fun little run in the Pac-12. I don't see it happening again here. And so this is one I agree with. But at the same time, I think now that it's at 1.5, this is a pass.
Yeah, it kind of seems like a one-off situation with them, of course, winning the Pac-12 and making it here. Certainly a great season in general just because of that aspect. But winning a game in the tournament, I mean, I don't really seem very likely. My opinion for Oregon, I mean, they're a team that middle of the road, about 170th in a D1 experience. They'd only have 30% of their minutes back from last year, which is, bottom 100 in the league. And South Carolina, a team that's on the other end of that, their experience. They rank top 30 when it comes to that.
Yeah.
And they got 40% of their minutes back. And like you said, the tempo. If you play slow and you grind someone out, it's very hard to shoot threes and to knock down free throws consistently. And Oregon is not a good free throw or three-point shooting team. So I didn't make a play in this game, but I am not rushing to the window to back Oregon or bet the over. I will say that, Drew.
I dig it. Yeah, and I think if you want me to go a little narrative street here, Oregon was going to fire their coach probably. And he really kind of got these guys to dig in deep, win the Pac-12 tournament, maybe save his job. Going back to the well to get inspirational, play out of, instead of like, hey, we're happy to be here. I would lean more in the direction of happy to be here.
Yeah, I like that. I like that too. So yeah, another angle to look at too. I think it's going to be one of the better games for the 6 and 11 seeds. We know that BYU, like we said, big favorites, but this one's supposed to be pretty close, and it's going to be a low scoring game more than likely with the total sitting at 133.5. One game that I did place a bet on that scares me, and before we got on air, Drew, I saw the number 94% of the bets are on this team. I should just cash out now. I took the Drake Bulldogs 10 seed on the money line. They were +1.5. Now they're -1.5 to -2 at some books. Total sitting at 137.5. They're taking on the Washington State Cougars, a 7 seed who, after the sweep of Arizona, everybody loves the Washington State Cougars now, but not this guy. Drake Bulldogs got us last year. They blew a lead when they should have beat Miami, Drew. Thought it was a year too early, but now I'm feeling like everybody's feeling the same way as me.
Yeah, they owe us. We talked about this. I am nervous. Yeah, Drake is a tricky one because Washington State is probably the better team. But yeah. They kind of fall into the category of haven't been here often, inexperienced. Drake did get their feet wet against Miami last year, really should have won that game. And I think ultimately with the as much experience as they brought back and just in general being a well-coached team and a coach with experience, like all these sort of things, these intangibles that you don't really show up when you kind of put the numbers, mash the numbers together and calculate a fair kind of all tilt in favor of Drake. But what that does, in my opinion, is that moves the needle across pick, right? This, like, just straight up numerically, this should probably be Cougars' small favorite. And you count the intangibles and you want to make Drake small favorite, fine. The kind of the one-way betting is interesting because, again, like, there's some numbers that I think are wrong on the board. And if you really wanted to go bananas, they're bettable places. This game is going to be a coin flip. I don't think that there has to be like lopsided action at all. Like this should be relatively balanced panel in just every sense of the word. You have you know, just in general, just two solid teams that are very close, very similar. You would say that Washington State's the better defense, Drake's the better offense. Drake can't necessarily create extra possessions in this game, which is problematic if they get to a deficit. They are a very bad offensive rebounding team. They don't create defensive turnovers especially well, but they do. They are very, very good shooting the ball. So Drake, it's worth noting, not one of the teams that has a ton of experience. I take that back. Drake, one of the teams that has used the Wilson ball pretty regularly. And the fact that they're putting up these type of statistics with the ball that's a little tougher to shoot with maybe gives me the last push I need to keep Drake as the team to advance in the 7-10 matchup.
Yeah, I found that that chart interesting you sent me for the show, because three of the four teams that I bet this so far all use the balls the whole entire season. So I'm like, if this is a thing, then we got points on our end. But hopefully that makes a difference. But I do like that nugget too, because not a lot of people are going to make note of that or write about that. But Washington State, to me, I mean, at one point they were 11-1, Drew. And then over the last six games, they've been 3-3. In that span, we're talking about an offense that's outside the top 100. We're talking about terrible turnover percentages and a two-point defense that allows 55.3% inside in that span. And guess where Drake scores the majority of the points?
Yep.
From two-point range.
Yep.
So Washington State doesn't shoot well. Slow tempo, just the bigger team. I like Drake, but as we said, so does everybody else. man.
We just need the actual Drake to bet on Washington State and we're good.
Honestly, that is what we need. I should name somebody else, but I don't want to hurt feelings. But, yeah, we need Drake to do that. All right, but we're closing in on opening day, not just the tournament. It's never too late to squeeze in another draft. So for those cramming in before the regular season begins, go ahead and grab your Roto-World Baseball Draft Guide. It's loaded with comprehensive positional rankings, projections, and player profiles to ensure your draft is a success. Visit mvcsports.com/draft guide and use code baseball24 to get 10% off at checkout. I got mine in the other room. I was going through it, and guess whose names were in it? Vaughn and Drew is writing about our best baseball bets entering the season. So get 10% off. I spent $12 at Walgreens. It was like 11-something. Could have got it cheaper online. Anyways.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Talk about some more underdogs that could get the victories. Number 12, McNeese State, taking on number 5, Gonzaga. The Bulldogs of Gonzaga are 6.5-point favorites, over-under set at 149.5 here. McNeese and the team we're going to talk about after them have seemed to be two of the most popular underdogs, public and sharps of the tournament, Drew. So, are you feeling like the Bulldogs could go down round one, or is this going to be an easy cover for Gonzaga and everyone's getting screwed out of money?
Count me a little on the latter. Seeing this one whatsoever. Plenty of dogs to get excited about. don't see it with McNeese State. Now that said, and honestly, 6.5 is not enough by my numbers. Now I should caveat a lot of this is when making a fair, I know that I am on the, kind of high side of, kind of keeping a weight on a preseason prior. What that means is you look at the talent on the team before they played a single basketball game, you come up with a fair rating for what that team is capable of doing. And even if they are underachieving through a balance of the season, there is still some expectation that that information holds some value to where you they'll return to that level. And the Gonzaga Bulldogs are probably the quintessential example of a team this year who would follow the they need, you know, they're kind of arriving at where we expected to start the season. We keyed on the Gonzaga Bulldogs when we were doing blind resumes as unusually a team that just had could not come up with the big win to save their lives. They were, 1-9 at one point against quad one opponents? And it was just like, hey, you give us a matchup against a lesser team, we're going to bury them. We're going to steal their souls. You match us up against the big boys, the good teams, we in trouble. And I think ultimately that McNeese State clearly falls in the former bucket. And I think Gonzaga, and particularly you know, the veteran staff that you have there is good enough to get this team to this round of 32 with relatively little distress. So I'm going to put Gonzaga through to the next round and not really think twice about it. And if they ultimately run away and hide with a double digit win, I don't think any of us should be surprised.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement. For some reason, I had no rush to go get McNeese State. And it's not because they aren't a good team. Their longest win streak in the nation right now, 11 straight wins. Could be a good thing, could be a bad thing coming tournament time. You kind of want to get your loss out the way before conference season happens, in my opinion. So a team that hasn't lost since February 5th, probably going to lose versus Gonzaga when you only shoot 69% from the free throw line. And you allow almost 40% of your opponent's points come from three-point range. That is not a healthy number whatsoever. Gonzaga is going to score inside regardless. So kind of talking myself into the Gonzaga Bulldogs. Might lay this 6.5, Drew. Thank you.
My fair is almost 9.
9. Yeah. I would say I would have made this one 7.5 or 8. The next game we're talking about, I feel like, should it be a lower spread than it is as well. Like if we're going to take one of these dogs, I'm taking this next team. That's number 13, Samford, against number 4, Kansas. This one has actually had some fluctuation because it opened around 9, 9.5, has come back down to 7, 7.5 now that Kevin McCullough's news has come out. Mm-hmm. Obviously some stuff about Hunter Dickinson also dealing with a shoulder injury. So the Bulldogs of Samford, are they live to get this win or cover?
I think they're live for the win. And I honestly, like, if you're going to get involved in this game, I'd probably just swing for the win and pass on those points. It's tough for, I think, the market to fairly adjust when teams are missing players of this magnitude. Kevin McCullough is pretty clearly the best and most important part of the Kansas Jayhawks. You know, kind of team success, and Hunter Dickson is clearly number 2. So this is a very untested and very difficult unit to price. And so if you're just saying that the uncertainty is massive and you have, but you know, it's a downgrade, right? I think, taking a stab on, Samford as, potentially coming away with, just an outright win is reasonable. Now, Kansas is deep. They're blue bloods. They have good talent in the next wings, you know, next level, which again kind of sticks to my point of just swing away on outright and don't worry about the points, because it kind of almost feel like if the young guys who are filling the void, who are soaking up the usage that's being you know, left on the table by the, with the absence of McCullough and Dickinson, if those guys play well, Kansas could win by double digits pretty easily here. There's nothing about Samford that I'm like, you know, oh, this fits a prototypical upset candidate at all. Like they're kind of, they kind of fit in a bucket of the teams that are just you know, lucky to be here, enjoy the moment, and, you know, go focus on getting a degree, because I would put them sort of right on the fringes of top 100 in college basketball. I'm a little surprised, honestly, that they got a 13 seed. And I think that, you know, Missouri Valley Conference, Southern Conference is down.
The SoCon
is down. I mean, I have, I don't think there was a single other team in there that I had in my top 150. I take that back. Western Carolina just made it into the top 150 for me. But otherwise, this is a weak conference, weak competition. And so, you know, this is much more about what Kansas shows up. I would say that just in general, the concerns about who ultimately takes on efficiency is enough for me to say Samford on the money line.
Yeah, I think it's just a lot of people seeing too with Kansas all the injury issues, because Parker Braun, also another guy who's dealing with injuries. He played 3 minutes against Cincinnati. Don't know what his minute restriction is going to be like in the round one, but Kansas only played 6 guys. So them getting Parker Braun back would be big, to have a 7th guy on their bench that they can actually trust, because most of the guys that did play the 2 or 3 minutes against Cincy are pretty young or seniors who haven't played at all, really. So Samford plays fast, shoots the threes a lot, and uses a lot of bench. That's pretty much the three things people are looking at and why they like Samford. But, like I said, if we're looking at between McNeese or Samford, I'm going to take a shot on the Samford Bulldogs 100% over McNeese. But I would not be shocked, Drew, to see Kansas win this game by double digits either. This seems, like I said, too obvious, very public pick right now.
You know where you could probably attack?
What?
Player market. If you live in a legal state that offers player props for this game, I don't think there's any realistic world where they are coming up with a correct or fair price on a player like Johnny Furphy. This is a good example for Kansas. Freshman, 6'9". He is going to have to absorb a ton of usage for this team to be competitive. And, you know, that's one of the things that might slip through the cracks a little bit if you have player props available. So that would be a fun way to attack it and to, you know, kind of, you know, cover Johnny Furphy having the game of his life while also Samford wins.
Yeah, I don't hate that whatsoever. And I agree with you. I don't have player props, so I've been left out of that market all year, which kind of sucks. But before we move on to a certain type of market that's going to be interesting on who would advance further, I want to ask you about this, because I just pulled it up to see if the numbers changed at all. It looks like on one of the books that I shop, Kansas is only a 7-point favorite now, so numbers continue to drop. But in the first half, Kansas's first half team totals 38.5, juice to the under. Jeez. That's a really high number for a team that's banged up to score 40 points pretty much in the first half. You agree?
It is high. No. Absolutely. I mean, you kind of have to use the Cincinnati game in some way as instructive, and their offensive efficiency was a disaster. This team scored 52 points. And, honestly, if Adams Jr. wasn't as effective from the mid range, then that team is, they're not breaking 50. Very tough to see how this team is getting into the mid-60s, which is what the market is expecting right now.
If you remember, I told you about KJ Adams, told you he's built like DK Metcalf, so no surprise he scored 22 points in that game. But 3 of 20 from 3 for Kansas against Cincinnati. Certainly will not get it done against the Samford team that has the third-best three-point rating in the entire country. So going to be a very interesting matchup. Definitely trendy underdogs in McNeese and Samford, but one of those two, I think, has the chance to advance here.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Speaking of advancing, Drew, let's talk about two Big Ten teams that nobody probably wants to back, but somebody out there is going to bet this market. It's Wisconsin Badgers versus Michigan State Spartans on who will go farther in this tournament. Now, we got the bracket on the screen for those watching on YouTube. Wisconsin has James Madison first. Michigan State faces Mississippi State. Any opinion on either of those two matchups? JMU, obviously, trendy underdog as well to win week one, round one.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out if I've fallen into some sort of trap here or not, but I have JMU still getting to the Sweet 16, and for those reasons, Wisconsin kind of crashing out early as a potential. I mean, you know, you can draw it up however you like. Wisconsin beating JMU and losing to Duke, sure. Wisconsin losing in round one, sure. Both Wisconsin and Michigan State making it equal, sure. Yeah, well, you know, like there are lots of potential ways out of this, assuming Michigan State wins their matchup with Mississippi State, and I think that's likely. But
I would go the other side.
You like Mississippi State?
If I was forced to bet this one, which I don't have a rooting interest, I would take Mississippi State here.
Okay. You're cool on the Spartans, though. And,
This isn't particularly a great matchup, man.
You think this is kind of a killer for them? Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Michigan State, for what it's worth, borderline elite defensive team, pretty pedestrian offensive team. I have them, you know, as in a clear second tier in the Big Ten after Purdue is one with a bullet, Illinois two, and then no clear distinction for me between Michigan State, Nebraska, and Wisconsin. So, path is similar because they're going to either one gets to the next round. They're going to be massive dogs. The big difference is just, do you want to find a different way to try to capitalize on a potential upset in round one for Wisconsin? I guess given the choice between taking James Madison outright in that game versus taking Michigan State plus 140, where you're at risk of pushing if they both lose, I think I would lean in the direction of James Madison.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% there. I don't think either of these teams have a particularly great chance of getting out of the first game alive.
Yeah.
And I would say Wisconsin probably has a better chance of beating a Duke or Vermont than Michigan State does of getting to their next round. So that's – and I mean, if you're getting plus 100 on Mississippi State and plus 185 on James Madison, like, I'll take those two before, I parlay Michigan State and Wisconsin both to win round one, right?
Yeah.
You're probably bound to make money. So that's kind of how I look at it too. But I don't have – it sounds like neither of us have confidence in either two team making it past the second round. You did say something that caught my interest real quick. James Madison, you said you got them in the Sweet 16. You got them beating Duke as well?
Yeah, I think both Wisconsin and Duke are flawed. If you were going to say, hey, give me one double-digit seed that makes it to the Sweet 16, that would be my pick.
Okay. I mean, I don't hate that at all. The double-digit seed I have going is Akron. I hate that. So we won't spend any time talking about that one.
Akron. How is that? Akron has to go through Creighton. Well, that's doable. And then the winner of South Carolina, Oregon. Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, Akron could get there. We'll see.
I feel like their path isn't too terrible. But, yeah, JMU, obviously, the much better team. So let's talk about another matchup, Baylor versus Illinois. Baylor laying minus 130, Illinois plus 110. Baylor taking on Colgate, minus 13.5-point favorite. Illinois taking on Morehead State, 11.5-point favorite in round one. Both teams should advance, theoretically. But in the next matchup, Illinois would face Duquesne or BYU, which we talked about earlier, Drew. And then Baylor would play either Clemson or New Mexico, which those two are becoming trendy bets to make the Sweet 16.
Yeah. Weird one. I don't understand why Illinois is not favored here. I think they are pretty clearly the more likely team to be in all the first three stages. Now, the more likely team to make the Final Four is pretty clearly Baylor. And for that reason, the more likely semifinalist and champion is Baylor. But that's long tail stuff. That's unlikely stuff. Illinois and Morehead State is an interesting matchup because Morehead State kind of fits the profile of a potential, you know, potential bracket buster, surely. Illinois, of course, lives and dies with the three. They cannot create turnovers to save their lives. It's very weird.
It plays so fast, too. Like, how do you not get turnovers when you play so fast?
I know. I don't understand it. Most of the other teams that really struggle, it's for different reasons. I guess I would just say that, assuming Illinois gets through round one, which I think they will, I'm pretty sure that they last longer than Baylor. Baylor, I only give them a 50% chance to make the Sweet 16. I only give them a 20% chance to make the Elite Eight. And I think ultimately, even though I very much wanted to come up with something, come up with a strong angle that the West is weak and chaos is going to ensue. I've cooled substantially on expecting Arizona to get beat before somebody of substance and consequence takes them out. And it's not Baylor, I don't think. Baylor's elite offensively, really, really, really suspect defense. And I think ultimately it's going to doom them at some stage of this tournament. But pretty fun matchup in terms of kind of trying to understand between these two teams because they are pretty similar. Illinois' offense is even better. Their defense is slightly better. The only kind of thing you can say is that there is a blinking, flashing red light that Illinois is an upset candidate, whereas Baylor at least has, a little bit more solid footing where less likely to be surprised. So I would take Illinois here, but it would be very tepid. And it's all almost entirely hoping that they avoid the round one upset. And at that point, you can probably cash this bet.
Yeah, I think Illinois is a team that has more potential to do damage in the NCAA tournament than the Baylor Bears does. But I think the West Division, I know we talked about a lot on Monday's episode on how we expect the chaos. You say you cooled off of it. I have not. I think something interesting is really going to happen here. I mean, I know North Carolina, Arizona, they are two of six or seven teams in KenPom, Marbar, Torvik that have a lot of championship similarities that check boxes that these two teams should technically make it far, or one of these two should represent this region in the Final Four. But as we mentioned, I mean, when I see Dayton or Nevada, Clemson, New Mexico, St. Mary's, I see some chaos and these teams can make a little noise. So, yeah, I like Illinois better, mainly just because I think their region sets them up to get to the Sweet 16. Before they play Iowa State, potentially, that's when things should really get interesting for Illinois. Speaking of the Cyclones, our Final Four ticket, which now has to potentially go through UConn, Iowa State is minus 120 versus the Tennessee Vols, who are plus 100, who would go further. I think that's very interesting. But when you look at Rick Barnes' track record in the tournament, not shocking, Iowa State would be the favorite here. Both are double-digit favorites in round one. No need to go in detail on that. But Iowa State would face Drake or Washington State in round two, and Tennessee would face Texas or Colorado State in round two. Who do you think goes further? And please say Iowa State.
True question. I think they both get to the Final Four. Iowa State's tricky. I mean, we have a decent position on them from a couple weeks ago. They got drawn into the UConn bracket, which stinks. But I think the path for UConn is a problem. Northwestern potentially in round two, or FAU, but definitely Northwestern is a potential stub your toe moment. Auburn in the Sweet 16 is a potential stub your toe moment. And then if you get past those two and draw Iowa State, who I think is pretty clearly the best out of the bottom half here, that's war, man. That's going to be tough. And so I think Iowa State, despite having the tougher one seed by far, their numbers say they will go further than Tennessee's by a lot. Iowa State, I have slightly, God, man, wow, just over 75% chance that they're in the Sweet 16, just over 50% chance that they're in the Elite Eight, and just over almost 30% chance that they're in the Final Four, which is pretty pretty high for a two seed. Tennessee, by contrast, I only have them at 65% chance to make the Sweet 16, 40% chance to make the Elite Eight, and 18% chance to make the Final Four. Having said all that, I did take Tennessee to get to the Final Four because the top half of this looks pretty soft to me. We talked about Kansas having injuries and just in general not being this, you know, kind of a realistic representative of four seed. Gonzaga unable to beat the big boys. Purdue can't, you know, has like clear issues with how much of their offense goes through the post and how much of their defense is not able to create turnovers. So if Tennessee can avoid the weirdness early, which I'm starting to believe in, you know, strongly that they can, then they should be your Final Four representative from the Midwest, I think. So the math tells me that the right bet is Iowa State, but you know, that Iowa State UConn game is going to be I already got a lot riding on that, so I might as well take Tennessee, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, three of my four before the tournament brackets were announced, three of my four Final Four bets all end up in the same region, UConn, Iowa State, Illinois. And I'm like, how did this happen? But that sometimes is the risk you take. And honestly, I think one of those three teams should represent the Final Four out of that region. And for Tennessee, it's either them or Purdue. I mean, there's going to be chaos through the rest of that bracket. But I do like the road for both of those teams. So interesting. I love the breakdown there. And since you spoke of UConn, the bracket of death, as some are saying, they are favored -125 over Houston at +105. The last one we're going to do here, obviously huge favorites. Round two will be huge favorites in round three, most likely as well. Excuse me, one in round two, one run in one round two. Any opinions here on this one? It's got to be the Cougars, right?
Yeah, it's the Cougars. And honestly, the having a plus money play here is, I think, the best way to base. If you don't have access to a yes-no market for UConn, I think this is the best way to play this. The reasons are softer region, substantially softer region. I think ultimately, path here would define Houston as your most likely champion. And I think ultimately, even if this is a head-to-head for all the marbles, I don't think you're going to see a wildly different price than Houston as a small dog. Can you talk me through that expectation? If this is UConn versus Houston in Glendale, Arizona on Monday, Championship Monday, what would be our expected line there? I'm sure UConn probably is favored, but is it by more than one and a half?
I was going to say UConn 2.5.
Okay.
So you're just because the end of the game, if free throws are a factor, UConn that guy has used advantage.
Okay. So that just means that ultimately it's probably pretty, I mean, you know, that if that's your worst case scenario, which, you know, I know I'm kind of putting Houston there a priori, which is maybe a bit of an overreach, but I'm not impressed with anyone in the South. I've gone over these teams 10 times. None of them, in their current state really kind of moved the needle. If Marquette was fully healthy by the time they played Houston in an elite matchup, I would change my tune a little bit, but I just don't think that's realistic.
Yeah, no, I am in a complete agreement with you, but I'm so excited to see where this tournament ends up.
Excited to see how this tournament ends up. Don't forget to check out NBCSports.com for more information to help you with your wagers. Thanks to those of you watching on us on NBC Sports YouTube channel. And if you're listening to us in podcast form, don't forget to subscribe and rate us. Also, a reminder for all of your favorite NBC Sports shows on Amazon Music, just head on over to amazon.com/NBC Sports.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.